We are. Every week, Tim Hasselbeck. Born. He's ESPN's NFL expert. He's our expert as well here on Darren Donick and Chase. Hour number three on this Tuesday. Tim, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're trying to figure out this Titans team. We, you know, you win six in a row, you beat, you know, playoff team after playoff team after playoff team, and then you have two losses with the Jets and the Texans. It's kind of maddening. And I know that's kind of life in the NFL. You know, you lived it, but it is hard to explain. Look, we went through all the layers last week, and oh, this is what they do. They play down to their competition. They play up to their competition. Just when you expect them to win, they lose. When you expect them not to win, they win. But if you get down to it, I'm like, they're not losing to the Texans. They stink. They're awful. There's no way they're going to lose them. They may not cover. They're not losing. Well, we all know how that played out. Five turnovers later, they lost to the Texans. How do you explain that?
I don't know that you can. I mean, it's, you said it. It's the NFL, and look, these things happen. We do see, you know, like they're not the only team. I guess I should say where you're like, wait a minute, did they really just lose? I mean, look, the Bills got blown out by the Colts. I mean, remember you told me that when the Titans beat the Colts, whatever it seemed like a month ago, that they then were out of it. You know, like that's how it goes. And then sometimes watch the Ravens, you're like, ah, they're not any good. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, okay, they look pretty good. So I think that's the NFL. I really do. And look, man, that's not to say that these aren't bad losses. They most certainly are bad losses, but it is pro football. The margin is thin. And I think that, you know, there are probably a couple things. You go back to that Titans game, there are a couple things that maybe just didn't work in their favor. You know, the unfortunate special teams play, the weather to mount the comeback. You know, so those things can all of a sudden make it seem and feel a little bit worse than it is. But, yeah, it's a bad loss. It's like the Jets game is a bad loss. Just like, was it last year? The Bengals game was a bad loss. Like, it does happen in the NFL.
You know, we've had so many conversations with you over the years about, in particular, the last couple of years about Ryan Tannehill. You know, why is it, you know, people don't give him enough credit, and the national media doesn't talk about him. Is he really good? Is he not good? Is he average? Is he above average? Is he elite? What is he? Well, this year, it has not been pretty. He is turning the ball over at an alarming rate. He's got more turnovers than anybody else. He's now eclipsed Patrick Mahomes in that department. He's got 13 touchdown passes to 12 interceptions. Some of the throws, it's like there's always a head scratcher. And I know, because I don't believe, and I don't know, I'd love to hear your opinion as a quarterback. I don't believe all interceptions are created equally. There's times when it goes off the fingertips of a receiver, should have been caught, and it's intercepted. Or, you know, hits him right in the chest and pops up in the air and gets intercepted. Not all interceptions are created equally. And, yes, it counts against the quarterback, but if you actually know the play and what happened, there's many times it should not count against the quarterback. But I'll tell you what, I don't have them, you know, I don't have them all right in front of me, but most of the 12 you go, yeah. That's all on Tannehill. That's all on the quarterback. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, I think when you look at the like this past weekend is an example. Look, there are some throws that I guarantee you. You know, he's not like he wants them back, but you know, at the same time, look, there are times that like it looked like just getting a grip on the football was, you know, a miserable challenge. And there's four, you know, four this past week, you know, and then you
four,
go back
and
you think about the turnovers, referencing the turnovers. How many times, especially earlier in the year, did he get hit as he was throwing and the ball came out? Like, I feel like Arizona for sure. Like, I feel like there were a number of plays for him early in the season. When you're talking just straight turnovers, You know, quarterback fumbles. I feel like I bang the drum, you know, as loud as I can, that like quarterback fumbles are worse than interceptions because of where they happen. And, you know, sometimes like those ones are really, like sometimes they're the quarterback's fault, like bad ball security in the pocket. You know, other times it's like guy's left hand comes off the ball, he's starting a motion, and he gets hit from behind, ball's loose, now it's picked up, and now the defense is in a tough spot. I feel like there were a number of those for him, you know, kind of in the beginning of the year. So, like, to get down to it, I here's what I would say, and I feel like I'm, you know, sound like I'm trying to make an excuse for him, and I most certainly am not, but the offense, so we've got a new offense coordinator, so there's going to be, you know, some challenges and some growing pains, most likely when that happens. Then, you know, your offense has to change because, you know, you lose basically the guy that you're revolving your offense around. And then, oh, by the way, you know, your receivers have been in and out of the lineup. So I think there have been a number of factors that have worked against him having this really consistent kind of even or upward trajectory type of season, you know, that have happened around him that have all been out of his control. And, oh, by the way, like, you know, he also has been without his left tackle for, you know, a good part of the season. So, yeah, I think all those things are why it's been, you know, more up and down than people probably would want it to be.
Every week we do our top 10 rankings, and we're going to do it after we're done with you today, this week's installment going into week 12. And typically, every week, we started going into, I think it was week 8 of the NFL season. Yep, that was the first week we did it. So after week 7 is when we started doing this. And I have had Buffalo lower than Willie and Chase every week because I watch them and I'm like, okay, I get it. Everybody, you know, I know what they did last year. I know what they look like on paper, but I keep calling them paper champions because they look good. Everybody tells me they're good. Everybody says they're good. But when I watch them, I'm like, what am I supposed to love about this team? They sleepwalk for three quarters against Miami at home, then wake up and beat them in the fourth. They lose to the Jags in Jacksonville. They get housed Sunday at home against Indy. Never a game. What's going on there? What's the missing ingredient? Why do they just look very average right now? But yet people still are like, the Bills are one of the teams, they're the team to beat in the AFC or one of the teams to beat. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, first off, I love how you framed that by being like, this is how right I've been and how wrong Willie and Chase have been. Like, that was beautiful the way that you framed that. That was really, really
I also
good.
Put a post in my fantasy league about that. It was pretty cool.
Your fantasy league.
Check the standings of that league, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh.
Let me tell you why I'm good looking and you guys are not. So here's, I think the missing ingredient is they don't even try to run the football. They don't care to run it. They don't try to run it. I don't know what the final numbers ended up being this last weekend, but whatever they were, they're not an accurate description of what they were trying to do in the game. The first half of last week's game, they had 5 running back rush attempts. 5. And it was like between 3 backs. I think the missing ingredient is like they don't have balance and they don't have any type of identity in the run game other than their quarterback running it. And I think that's putting way too much on one individual, and so when that guy isn't totally right, it looks really, really bad. It was an issue last year in the postseason, and I think that, you know, they're able to get away with it at times because they have a quarterback who's supremely talented, and so when he's rolling, it looks really, really good. And so I think that people generally have liked them because what Sean McDermott has built there has been pretty good. They've always been pretty good on defense. And, in fact, before they got Josh Allen, they were surviving by playing good defense and kind of slowing the game down. And then they got Josh Allen that was like, oh, wow, like play great defense, and they've got, you know, MVP-type player as their quarterback. Well, it just hasn't been like that in the passing game. There's bad weather, just like there was for Tennessee this weekend. There was bad weather in Buffalo. And so I think they can look bad at times, and that's what's happened. So, yeah, I think there's real concern there. And I think that, look, I'm not saying that every team needs to be like a, I don't know, sound like, you know, some old coach from 30 years ago. We're going to run the football and do all that stuff. But, like, you do need to be able to situationally run the football. And so whether that's short yardage and goal line, whether that's, you know, when weather's at play, whether it's because people are going to try to defend you differently, I just think you need to have that tool in the toolbox. They don't have it.
So you must not be in the West Wing of the castle today because you're coming in crystal clear. See, this is when you're
taking... Why would you bring that up? Why would you
When you're taking a shot at me, like, this is when I need you to break up, you know, like you've been, you know, you've been doing every week.
Again,
but you come in crystal clear.
I am in the exact spot I have been in for this hit for the last 5.5 years. Have not moved.
Well, why aren't you breaking up today when you're taking shots? You're coming in crystal clear.
It's a really good question. Maybe it's the nice weather today.
Willie?
Talking to Tim Hasselbeck here, talking some NFL football. I want to go back to the Titans for 1 second, Tim. Not maybe specifically towards Tannehill, but just the injuries in general. If you go down the list of who they had on the field as they're trying to come back, I think the secret is you can't fall behind, and that's why maybe that first interception is really the killer when you go back through that game. But there are so many no-names. And it's no offense to those guys because those guys have given them everything. It's amazing that they're 8-3 in my mind. But at some point, you know, how much can you expect of your quarterback to overcome what they're dealing with? You know, three running backs that didn't start the season with, three or four wide receivers down on the depth chart that you're trying to ask big things from, like Dez Fitzpatrick, who was cut and then brought back. And he was almost like the most talented guy they had out there. So, how are they going to get by here for the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think it's a real challenge. I think it's one of the things that happens. Look at Pittsburgh on Sunday night. Like, you're watching Pittsburgh and you're like, well, defensively, they just weren't the same, like, at all. And because they don't have their best player. And, okay, that's the reality of playing in the NFL. Like, when you are missing impact players, it's hard to survive it. And I think you bring up a great point. Look, Dez Fitzpatrick, to somebody they're really counting on, look, he was a fourth round draft pick that they cut, so it obviously was not clicking for him, you know, right away. And look, you can say that, you know, a similar thing about, you know, the running back position. I mean, the running back position, I mean, they're clearly, you know, piecing it together. So, like, how do you survive it? I mean, you survive it, unfortunately, by, you know, the quarterback playing out of his mind or getting people healthy, or the defense, you know, playing at a really high level like we saw against the Rams. But look, now you're going to play a red-hot Patriots team. Fortunately, you get a bye week, and then Jacksonville, you know, and then Pittsburgh. So, like, look, I really think, like, they're still okay. You look at the finish of the schedule, I still think they're in a pretty good spot to get a little bit healthier, kind of figure out what you're good at offensively, and honestly have a chance at, you know, playing a bunch of home games in the postseason.
Do you think the Chiefs have figured it out? Are you buying into their powerhouse again?
I am. Here's what they've done that's helped them. Chris Jones has moved back inside. He's a dominant inside player. He's helped them, and I think that's helped their secondary because he's been so disruptive. He's really not a defensive end, doesn't play with that kind of speed, but he, you know, wanted to, and I think they thought that he could. So that's helped them defensively. And, look, I just think the sample size of them being good on offense is too big. And you think about the turnover that they had, like right through Travis Kelce's hands and off his shoulder pad. And so I do think that they're back. Are they all the way back offensively? No, but I think that they're back offensively. And, yeah, I think they can be a Super Bowl team.
All right, Chase and Darren are going to snicker when I asked about this next team because they left these guys for dead when they blew the game against the Ravens and then turned around and lost for the second time to the Titans. But I keep saying the Colts can still work their way back into this thing. They're playing much better, very quietly. So how do you see their trajectory right now? I know they've got some tough games coming up.
They do. And so, look, I agree with you. When you look at the way they ran the football this past weekend was, you know, insane. I thought that we saw Carson Wentz make, you know, I think play the way I thought they would play. I know you guys had asked me about, like, his impact on that team. And it was like, well, look, he's talented enough to, you know, to make, like, the three or four plays. And I think that there have been elements where he's done that. I think if you look at their schedule and you were just to pick off, like, hey, win or loss. Let's say they lose to Tampa, but they beat, you know, the Texans. And let's say they lose to New England. That's two losses, okay? Say Arizona's a loss. That's three. But they win. So they could split down the stretch. And if they split down the stretch, 9-8, does that get them in? And are they good? Like, it may. And, or, look, can they win one of those? You know, that maybe, you know, people don't think that they're going to win. You know, can they steal one against New England? Or can they beat Arizona? Yeah, I see their trajectory as a team that is improving. I see their trajectory as a team that we all thought had a good roster coming into the season. And so, yeah, look, I was on board with kind of saying, yeah, look, it's going to be hard for them to mount a comeback to be a playoff team after that loss to the Titans, that second loss to the Titans. But it looks like they may be able to do it.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, and looking at on the other side of the Titans' opponent, the New England Patriots this week, Mac Jones, I mean, his numbers, he's completing 70% of his passes, but he's only averaging, I think, 230 yards a game, something like that. What does that say about Josh McDaniels and how he has tailored the offense around Mac Jones to, you know, give him an opportunity to succeed but also protect the rookie at the same time?
You know, I think what's interesting is, I don't know that he's protected him. Now, I think he's done exactly what you said in terms of setting him up for success, because I think that he's done a good job of designing offense to give him somewhere to go with the football. I still will say that, like, I don't know that the receivers have just been winning and making it easy for him. I think Mac Jones has been a really good decision maker. I think he's been very just accurate. And I think some of the reasons you don't see, like, a ton of big stuff down the field is, I just don't think they have the personnel that's good at doing that yet. And I have to say, like, in terms of rookie quarterbacks, just as a passer, because, like, Cam Newton as a rookie, like, he obviously threw it a bunch, but, like, he was still hard to defend as a runner. And but, like, just as a passer, look, Mac Jones has probably been as impressive as anyone I really remember, just as a rookie passer. And that's taking into consideration, you know, just the lack of weapons he has around him.
What are you expecting Stafford and the Rams to look like coming off the bye? I mean, obviously they're going to be without Robert Woods, which is a tough one. They're adding Odell Beckham or added Odell Beckham, but a tough one at Green Bay coming out of the bye week, coming off two losses. But I still look at them as a pretty good team.
Yeah, they have so much talent. They're good on defense. I would expect that McVay, you know, helps them get it figured out and turned around. You know, the concern you have for them is, look, they scored 16 points against the Titans, and they scored 10 points against the Niners. Green Bay defensively has been playing well. Look, I could see them easily having another disappointing loss. And, look, that's a team, like, if we, just looking ahead at their schedule. So Green Bay is a tough team. But Arizona, the Minnesota Vikings, the Ravens, and then finishing with the Niners, they do play Seattle in there. Like, I think it's a tough stretch. I think it's a really, really tough stretch because I think Minnesota, even though they're 5-5, I think they've lost. I think their five losses are a combined like 18 points. I think Minnesota is a really, really good team. and the quarterback's playing great. Kirk Cousins, 21 touchdowns and 2 picks this season. I mean, what he's done has been incredible. So I'd be a little concerned, because as good as things, you know, started off for them, it's really kind of struggling.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Jason Garrett has been fired as the offensive coordinator of the Giants. What's kind of your thought on him as an OC? Is that just a bad situation that he was in, or do you think that it's some on him?
Is this from the? Do we think this is a Manning cast reaction?
I mean, good question.
I don't know.
No, in all seriousness, right? To have Eli, you know, and Peyton on there being like, I don't know what they're doing offensively. You know,
that carries weight. Don't you think if it's a teetering, which it has been from the start, there's been a lot of skeptics from the get-go, and then you have that. That's, to me, that's, it could be a tipping point, right? Especially in a rough game.
I think when there are certain people that say things publicly, and I've talked about this with you guys before. Look, when Troy Aikman, who's had, you know, 8 Rams games that season, is saying, oh, you know, they don't really, I'm not sure they believe in the quarterback that much. Like, he's not pulling that out of nowhere. When Chris Collinsworth, you know, who's had a, you know, number of, he's not making it up. And so, you know, for Eli, who still has a role in the organization, to be making comments about, you know, the Giants struggling, and even Peyton for that matter, and being like, I don't know what the deal is, that's not a good look for the Giants. And, look, I will say this, though. Like, okay, he gets run out as an offensive coordinator. Jason Garrett, think about these college coaching jobs that are open. Like, Jason Garrett could easily resurface as a head coach somewhere in college football.
Interesting.
Hmm.
I haven't even thought about that.
I haven't seen him on one list anywhere. Hmm.
Well, he just got fired.
He's looking for a job as of 10 minutes
ago.
Well,
yeah, but these lists come out immediately. There'll be one by a couple hours.
Give it another 7 minutes.
Hold on a second. Here we go. He's on the list. I just put him on my list, okay?
Yep,
okay.
Somebody's going to retweet that.
For one of these head coaching jobs.
Okay,
my best friend Tim Hasselbeck says
it's okay for you to reference your list. Okay,
the guy was a head coach for the Dallas Cowboys for a very long time.
Yeah,
like this idea that he wouldn't be a candidate for, you know, for one. I'm not saying like he's about to get the, you know, the USC job, or the LSU job. But what I'm saying is like there will be dominoes where, you know, guys are going to move, and maybe that next level of college job becomes available. It would not surprise me to see him as a head coach.
You mentioned USC. Pete Carroll was a failed NFL coach that hadn't done a whole lot. Yeah. Jason Garrett did a lot more than he did as an NFL coach. He goes to USC and does what he does. I'm not saying it was all on the level, but he won a ton of games. They built a dynasty.
Well, in all seriousness, why are you – I mean, I didn't even know he had aspirations or ever. I've never seen anyone. I mean, we see pro coaches get you hear their chatter around college jobs. I mean, where is that coming from? Obviously, you've talked to somebody. Or is that just Tim's list?
Well, no. I mean, here's what I would say. I mean, he's – a lot of times when coaches – and I just, you know, knowing enough about the hiring process with college coaches – for somebody to be a leader of guys that, you know, need to be led. You're talking about 18 to 23-year-olds, basically. And so somebody that has head coaching experience is valuable. And, you know, so for Jason Garrett, not only does he have head coaching experience, but he's a former head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, for him, and I don't want to speak for him, I do know him, but so what I would say is, look, being the head coach is very different than being an offensive coordinator and working for somebody, and maybe this experience of working for Joe Judge wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, and kind of at a different stage of his career would say, look, maybe I'd rather be, you know, a head coach somewhere, and it because of what's happened, maybe that doesn't happen right away or doesn't happen in the NFL. And so maybe it happens in college. So I'll give you an example. And I think that it matters to guys that are playing in college football, especially, you know, at certain programs. The head coach at Boston College, Jeff Hafley, has done a very good job of selling his NFL experience to recruits. And it matters to them. I think it's shown up with kind of how that has changed in their program. And so I think Jason Garrett, with NFL experience, NFL ties, being able to show guys that, hey, we're going to do stuff that people do on Sundays, I think that that would matter to a program that is, you know, maybe needs to get creative with coaching or things like that. Like, let's say Chip Kelly's gone at UCLA. Could Jason Garrett end up at UCLA's head coach? I think he could.
Interesting.
There's a lot of big jobs open.
Matthew Judon, as we wrap this up today, wasn't really talking about the Titans. Well, he may have been. But he also wanted to work in that mac and cheese is just cheese and noodles, and it's not good, and that it needs to be off the table for Thanksgiving. In fact, he even said macaroni and cheese is disgusting. Where are you on macaroni and cheese on the Thanksgiving table?
All right, so I'm a mac and cheese fan. I can't say that we have it for Thanksgiving. It's not part of
sides.
No, nope. And we've got some unique ones that show up on our sides and desserts and things like that. Mac and cheese is not one of them. So, I would be with Judon on that.
Well, give us a unique side. What's something different that you'll
pretzel
have on
jello.
The table? Pretzel Say that
jello.
Again?
Because pretzel jello. Have you guys heard of it before?
I have not. Do tell.
It's amazing. I think there's a lot of sugar in it, but I think that it's got you're gonna be like, what? No, I'm not interested. But I think it's like cream cheese, pretzels, sugar, probably some maple syrup in there, jello. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Wow. I think we just gained 2 pounds listening to the description.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. It has got to be horrible for you. Like, it's – and the problem with it is it's not for everybody. And so because it's not for everybody, I usually end up eating, like, 15 servings of it. So that's the
– So you're the guy. It's like, hey, nobody else is eating this. You like it. So will you have another helping?
Pretty much this is how bad it is. Yeah. I think it's specifically made for me. And I don't think it's easy to make.
Right. So, and so you feel pressure, you feel obligation. I've got to carry the flag for this thing.
No, I feel no pressure or obligation. I just want to eat it.
Oh, okay, okay. So like you're taking full responsibility.
So Sunday you'll be on set, in a sweatsuit, basically.
Pretty much, truthfully, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, I think, they say that during COVID, you know, you could turn into a hunk, drunk, or chunk. I hit 2 out of 3. You got proud of me. It would not surprise me if Elizabeth is just so disgusted with me at this point that she's going to take a hiatus from the prep of jello this Thanksgiving.
She may say, "This is it. This
she's
is finally it."
Like, listen, I'm actually doing this for you, and it's not an option.
Good stuff. Okay. All right. We appreciate it. Have a happy Thanksgiving for you and the family. Enjoy
the
jello.
Happy Thanksgiving, fellas. See ya.
All right. That is Tim Hasselbeck. Our weekly chat with him. I've never heard of that before. Pretzel jello.
I haven't either, but that sounds interesting.
Usually I just put another liquid in the jello. Let's call it a day. Clear liquid.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Water?
No?
No.
No.
Oh.
No. Typically my jello shots do not have water in them, no.
You said clear liquid, so I'm just narrowing it down.
Yeah. 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 So. You can work on that during the break, try to figure out where I'm going with that. We'll come back, do our top 10 NFL rankings going into week 12. We will do that next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. You know what else is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue? It's our NFL Game of the Week right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And our game this week will be Thursday, and it'll be Las Vegas at Dallas. I wonder who made the decision to carry that game. That's a 3:30 kickoff, Raiders and Cowboys, also brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD, products curated for life. All right, it is time for our top 10 rankings. By the way, there's been a lot of you reaching out via text, Twitter, asking when are we doing Silly Underdogs. Are we doing them? Yes, we are. Remember, this is an abbreviated week on the show. We will do Silly Underdog picks tomorrow at noon. So keep that in mind, and we want you to, of course, play along with us at thegamenashville.com. Okay, last week, I had Green Bay number one. Willie had Dallas number one. Chase had the Titans number one.
I will tell you that my top four from last week all lost. 4 for 4.
No, mine did not. My top three lost. 4 was Arizona for me, and they did not lose. So, with that being said, I'll start. I have Arizona number one. I mean, they deserve it. I don't know how they're doing this. Colt McCoy, I mean, how are they winning games with Colt McCoy? Seattle, see you next year. Thanks for playing. Your season is done. 3-7. They just look you talking about uninspired. You got shut out last week for the first time ever in Lambeau Field. First time ever being shut out with Russell Wilson as your quarterback, and you followed up with a home game against Arizona and no Kyler Murray, and you just look pathetic. I mean, absolutely pathetic. I don't know how Arizona's doing it without, you know, some of the DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray, and they've got, you know, Chase Edmonds has been gone for a while. We know J.J. Watt. I mean, but yet they just keep plugging along and they keep winning. So for me, the Arizona Cardinals deserve to be number one. Going into week 12, and so therefore I've got them number one. Willie, who do you have number one?
Arizona.
Wow. 3 for 3, Arizona. We all put Arizona number one.
Anybody have anything different to add?
No, not really. I mean,
you said the story.
You said it. What they've been able to pull off, they deserve it. So, and looking back at my top tens, they have been number one now 3 times since we've been doing this. So. They keep finding their way back up there.
We both had Arizona 4 last week. Willie, you had them 5 last week. So Arizona vaults back up into the number one spot. We had them number one going into week 10. And we had you guys had them number one going into the first week we did it.
Yep.
So for you guys, that's the third time you've had Arizona number one. Second time for me.
Well, they've gone from 1 to 5 to 1 for me.
Yeah. You're running the 1-5-1?
This is whatever they're running the 1-5-1. It's a volatile thing we've got going here.
Okay, number two. Willie, you had the Titans last week. Who do you have number two this week?
I've got the Bucks. So the Bucks have gone from 2 to 6 to 2. So we got 1-5-1, we got 2-6-2. Got to slide the Bucks back up there. At the end of the day, they're a really good team. I think their arrow is pointing up. They're getting healthier. Got Gronk back. I like them.
I too had the Titans number two last week, and I've got the Bucks number two. Look, they've got Gronk back. They're probably going to get Antonio Brown back here, and it just looks like they're starting to get right again. Tampa Bay's going to be right there in the thick of things, and they are. Impressive win last night, so I've got Tampa 2. Chase?
Well,
that's a defense. The Tampa 2.
Yeah, it is a defense.
It's a famous defense, the Tampa 2.
The Monty Kiffin special.
Yes. Well, I'm running the Tampa 2 as well. I have the Bucks second. I thought I was going to be different, to be honest with you. I didn't think both of you would have them number two. But I think a angry Brady is a dangerous Brady, and he played maybe the worst game, definitely the worst game of his Bucs tenure, definitely the worst game in the last 10 years, maybe one of the worst games of his career a couple weeks ago, and he's come out pissed off for greatness. So I think down the stretch, this is where they really get going, and I think you saw that starting last night.
When you say you're surprised, I did it with no hesitation. I mean, it was.
Well, I was surprised at both of you that we are 3-for-3 on 1-2 right now.
Yeah. Yep. Well,
we may be on three.
We changed our twos from last week. We changed our ones and our twos. So Chase, you had Dallas. I had Dallas 3 last week. Willie, you had Green Bay 3. So, Chase, who do you have at 3?
The Green Bay Packers. I dropped them down just one spot. I still think that's a good team. I'm with Tim. They've surprised me. I don't know if I'm going to say impressed. They've surprised me. I've never been high on Kirk Cousins, but you know that's a tough team. So I dropped Green Bay one spot, but I still like them in that spot in the top 5.
I mean, the odds makers were telling us it was going to be a great game.
Sure.
I think the line was 1. So.
Yep.
So I, too, have Green Bay at 3. You guys know I've had Green Bay high this whole time. I had Green Bay 1 last week. You lose at Minnesota by a field goal. I drop you down to 3. Willie, who did you have at 3?
I got Dallas at 3. I had them at 1 last week. They slide down. Not a bad loss at KC. Tough circumstances. They didn't have Amari Cooper. They lose CeeDee Lamb in the middle of the game. That really hamstrung them. So I see a Kansas City team that's really peaking at the right time here, starting to really get it. So that's not a bad loss. So Dallas slides to 3.
I did the same thing. I slid Dallas down 1. I had them 3 last week. I've slid them down to 4. I'm with you. It's not a horrible loss at KC. KC seems to be getting a lot of things right, although they were very inept on offense, which does surprise me, and I get it. As you said, they were without Cooper, and then Lamb goes down. But still, you've got Dak, and so he is an elite quarterback. And that running game, I don't know. I was not on board. You kind of threw that out there last week. We didn't seem to, Chase, to really agree on the running. I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's been – I think he's been okay. He certainly has been elite. He's been elite before in the past.
Yeah.
I don't think
they're certainly leaning on the receivers, and you know that's going to be their bread and butter in with Dak, but yeah, no, I understand. I agree.
So I had Dallas 4. Willie, who did you have 4?
I got Green Bay 4th. I'm not panicking on them. I had them up to 3 loss, but they're still a really good team. I got them 4.
Well, we're stride for stride.
You have Dallas
right now.
Again?
Yeah.
Jeez, man, we're stride for stride. Same thing.
And who'd you have 3, Willie?
Dallas.
Okay, so you've just flopped Dallas.
So we have the same 4 teams in the top 4, just in different, slightly different order.
So, well, Chase, just get 5 started then.
That's where I move the Titans. I dropped them from 1 to 5.
Are you kidding me?
we didn't talk about this before.
Nope.
You lose to the Texans. I mean, you're gonna take a pretty good dip. And you know, I had the Titans ranked ahead of the Packers and the Cowboys last week. Now I have them behind them and the Bucks. It's a bad loss. It's just the only way to put it. But still, I think good teams figure a way how to rebound. We'll see what they do against the Patriots. But I'm at 5.
Okay. Well, you heard my reaction. I had the same thing. I had Titans 2 last week. You lose at home to the Texans in that fashion. I mean, you got to go down the board. So they go to 5. Willie, who did you have at 5?
I got the Chiefs at number 5 with a bullet, moving up fast.
Wow. You had Kansas City 8 last week.
Yep.
So 8-5. Okay. You want to start 6?
This is where I have the Titans. I'm concerned because their ship is kind of floating, taking on some water right now. This is a real tough time for them. They've got the tough game coming up. I see them as a team on fumes that needs a bye week in a big way. They've done a tremendous job to be at 8-3 at this point. But right now, this is a key time to just to try to survive, fix the boat, get some people back after the bye week.
Chase, you had Tampa Bay 6 last week. What do you have 6 this week?
I am going with the New England Patriots at number 6. I've moved them up one spot from 7. This is going to be, I think, their biggest test. Now, we'll see what kind of lineup the Titans have. But for those that are on the Patriots bandwagon, which I have been, I am a believer in them. They're leading the division. But you got to keep taking care of business. So we'll see if they stay at 6. Or if they move up or down.
I don't love this pick. This is one I was really uncomfortable with, but I'm really hesitant just to go all in. Everybody, I get it. Kansas City and the Patriots, that's the hot stock. Everybody's buying the hot stock, and I get that. I understand. But I'm just not willing to, like, all of a sudden, you know. I mean, I've seen boards out here. People got them in their top 5. It's like, come on. Like, this is an overreaction. So I need to see a little bit more. So I've got the Rams. You know, they're coming off a bye week. And I still think there's a whole lot to like there. I mean, I've had them high all year, and so I know they've lost their last two. They're coming off the bye week. Let's see how they respond coming off the bye week. Let's see if they look any different. And maybe they've got issues moving forward. Maybe they're going the wrong way. And that could be the case. But I'm not ready to sell my stock yet. So I'm going to keep them at 6. Don't love it, but I've got the Rams at 6. Willie, who do you have at 7?
I have the Bills. I'm bullish on the Bills. I do think they'll come out of this, but I've got them as low as I've had them the entire time we're doing this. I've got them down from number 4. I do think there's a bounce back coming here in a big way.
Your Josh Allen jersey's on order. So I'll get that.
Just calling it like I see it. Calling them like I see them. And I think the biggest reason that the Bills look bad last week is because the Colts are coming on.
You had them 4 last week. Chase, you had them 5. I had them 6 last week, Buffalo. Chase, what do you have at 7?
That is where I have the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, my gosh.
Are we we're again?
Yes.
So the only difference right now is you have the Rams at 6, I have the Pats.
Yeah, and I said I didn't love it. I knew I didn't love it.
So I have the Chiefs, moved them up from 10. Last week was the first time that they've been in my top 10 we've been doing this. Mm-hmm. They're proving it right now. They got that swagger back, which I think is going to be dangerous for the rest of the AFC especially. But that's where I put them, 7.
Yeah, I did. I had them. We both had them Kansas City 10 last week. I, too, moved them up to 7. With that being said, I've got the Patriots at 8. This is going to be a big one. As we know, this Sunday in Foxborough, something's going to have to give, so there's going to be movement again, 8 versus 5, at least in my poll. So, Willie, who do you have at 8?
I also have the Patriots. I'm not ready to jump them way up there, even though they're playing some really good football. I think they're a good team that's playing very well right now. I don't think their ceiling is much higher than that, but they're catching the Titans at a great time here, and I think they should beat the Titans this weekend if they keep playing the way they're playing. But it'll come back around. There'll be another time, and maybe there'll be another rematch in the playoffs.
So yours is 8 versus 6. Mine is 8 versus 5. Chase, for you, it's going to be 6 versus 5. Patriots, Titans. So who do you have at 8?
8 is where I put the Rams, which is where I had them last week, so I just didn't move them off the bye. I still think good team, and I think they get it turned around, so can potentially move up. I want to see what the offense looks like incorporating OBJ and losing Robert Woods. Can OBJ do anything to help this offense, or is it, you know, going to be Kupp and others that get it done? So we'll see, but I have them at 8.
Who do you have at 9?
9, I kept the Ravens there as well. No movement on them. I thought it was a gutsy win, not having Lamar Jackson. They were able to get it done. A tough one, but still got it done. And so I kept them at 9.
Willie, who do you have at 9?
I got the Rams at 9, hanging by a thread here. I'm with you. It's like, you know, they've banked up enough that you're willing to live with this sag that they're in. You know, they should be better than this. They're in a slump. They've got a chance after the bye week to bounce back.
I have the Ravens at 9 as well. They keep winning. That was a little bit more impressive. It was without Lamar Jackson. I still have questions about them. I'm still not in love with them, but I'm not going to punish them for winning games in the NFL. It may not be pretty at all times. It may be luck at some times, but a win is a win. And this one was a little bit different because it was without their star quarterback. And so, you know, you get a win on the road without your star quarterback. I'm certainly not punishing you. I had them at 9 last week. I keep them at 9. I'll go on and start 10. And it's, you know, where I have the Bills. So I had Buffalo 6 last week. I've pushed them down to 10. And they're hanging on by a thread. You guys know I've had them lower than anybody all year. I want to see more. I got to see more. And, you know, they're dangerously close to being pushed out. I mean, they're right there at 10. And I think I've had them 9 in week 10, which was by far the lowest of anybody. I had them 8 in week 9, which was by far the lowest, and 7. So, I mean, I've had them in the second tier the whole time, and they continue to show me why I've had them in the second tier, because they just aren't playing well. And I don't know. Maybe they're going to turn this thing around. Maybe this is who they are. But right now I've got them at 10. Chase, who do you have at 10?
I kicked the Bills out. They got kicked out.
So you're going to regret that. You're going to regret kicking the Bills out.
Five to out.
You're going
to
regret it,
Chase. Wow.
Yeah, but see, you're going to like this. You're sitting down. You're excited. You're going to smile.
So you have the Colts in.
The Colts are at 10.
I considered. I almost did it.
Colts are at 10.
You got Colts at 10. Okay.
Who do you have at 10, Willie?
I had to keep the Ravens there. They've been at 10. You can't fault them. They find ways to win. I have Indianapolis for the second straight week at 11. So they've been on the verge, and now my number 12 is the Chargers. So those are the other two teams I considered, but I stick with the Ravens at 10.
I understand. You know, they just beat them, so I get that a head to head, but how can you have a team that's one game over 500 in your top 10?
I don't.
I mean, I'm talking to Chase. Like, I get it. They just smoked Buffalo, and so that huge marks. Like, I get it. They're on everybody's radar now, and they're right there on the outside looking in. But a team with 5 losses and one game over 500, how could they be in the top 10?
They've won 3 in a row.
They're a good team.
I mean, they're 4-1 in their last 5.
So, the one they lost was an overtime. They've lost overtime twice.
Yep.
So they're 6-5. So, but they're in hockey, Darren. Their record would be 6-3-2.
Yes, it would. Thank you. Thank you for that, Will.
I'm making your argument for you, Chase.
Yeah. No. I understand why you're asking that question, but I think they got momentum right now. They're hot, and you got to respect that. I mean, a team that goes 4-1 in their last 5 in this league, that's impressive.
Well, I'm not gonna push back too much because it's against the team that I had 10 that I'm not that confident in.
Yeah, so, and I took them out.
Buffalo is they're hanging on by a thread. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction to totally push them out, but I'm also not gonna sit here and beat the horn for Buffalo too much, as you guys know. I mean, I need to see who do they have. What's next up? Let me look at their remaining schedule.
Well, let me make one more point on Indy. Okay. Here's the thing, too.
So they're at New Orleans this week.
Indy, to start their season, their schedule was not easy. I mean, Seattle, they had to play Seattle when Seattle, was still – everybody thought they were Seattle. They had to play the Rams. Then they came here in a tough-fought game. They finally get Miami. Baltimore, we saw what happened on Monday night. So I mean, it was a tough start to their schedule, and then since then, their only loss has been to the Titans in that overtime game. So they've done what they've needed to do.
By the way, listen to the Bills' remaining schedule: at New Orleans this week, home against the Patriots, at Tampa, home against Carolina, at New England, home against the Falcons and the Jets.
They'll be there.
Things are going to get interesting.
Two key games against the Patriots. That's where it's all going to come
down. And at Tampa.
Down.
I mean, Tampa. That's 3 out of 4 weeks.
Right. Well, that's two games against New England. That's a non-conference.
Well, and they play their Thanksgiving night.
Yeah, New Orleans.
That's correct. That's the New Orleans. That's the triple header. That's the third game. They're at New Orleans.
They can't lose that game.
And that's
a tricky game, by the way.
That's a tricky game.
They need to win.
I think it's a very tricky game.
But the Saints. Let's check the Saints desk. How are you feeling about the Saints? Saints are on fumes right now.
Yeah, not good.
Just re-signed Taysom Hill to the weirdest looking contract I've ever seen.
Yeah, like that. That doesn't even make any sense. Like, we've signed him to 40, or maybe it's 95 million. I don't know, somewhere in between. We've got him somewhere locked up between 40 and 95.
They're calling it a hybrid extension.
I've never heard of that before.
The 4-year deal can be worth anywhere between 40 million and 95 million, with 22.5 million guaranteed.
I get it. It's based on. If he's their start, if he's not their starting quarterback now, when is he ever going to be their starting quarterback?
I know.
Winston's out for the year, and they keep going with, you know, Trevor Siemian, who is not good.
Maybe they got a little Thanksgiving surprise for everybody.
He should. I mean, why not see what he can do?
Elijah, is he hurt?
Who? Hill?
Yeah.
Not anymore. For the Buccaneers game, he was unavailable for that. Okay. Because he was coming out of a concussion protocol. But he's been healthy the last 2 weeks.
Here's the thing with this deal that, like, good for him because he got $22.5 million guaranteed. But he also kind of shot himself in the foot because if you're the Saints and you know that there are incentives that say if you're the starting quarterback, you're going to make more money, does that factor into the decision on whether he ever becomes the starting quarterback?
Good question. The investment is there.
Because I would say it probably does.
My experience as a minor league baseball player, as the 25th round pick, there weren't as many eyes on me as there were the first round and second round picks that got the big signing bonuses. You get a little bit more attention, a little bit more, hey, let's see if this guy can do it. It doesn't mean they're going to get there, but they have maybe just a little bit more runway, shall we say.
Well, the eyes will be on his playing time because there's a whole lot of money attached to what position he does play for them. We'll come back. We'll switch gears to college football. We'll talk with Mitch Light to begin the fourth and final hour, but right now I want to tell you about my friends at Creation CBD. If you're like me and you have aches and pains on your body from time to time, I mean, who doesn't, right? Especially as we get older, or if you're active and you've been searching for a solution, well, I've got it. It's Creation CBD. Creation means healing, and that right there says a lot. Creation is locally and organically sourced CBD products right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Creation is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use, and for your pets, too. And if you have a pet that has medical issues, you have a pet like us who have a female German Shepherd that has seizures and has had them for 3+ years and is on lots of pills and it's vet visit after vet visit and nothing ever changes, and then we put her on a pet tincture from Creation CBD and everything goes away and she's active and she's lost weight, it's been a life changer. It's been a game changer for us and for her. And if you're somebody out there that has a pet and you deal with that, you definitely need to look into this. And right now, you can look at it and get a discount of 50% off. Yes, everything you order online at creationcompany.com, put in the code DDC50, DDC50, and you'll get 50% off when you check out on the website. Also, they've got 50% off sale going on at the Painted Tree in Franklin. And all this is through November 28th. So for the next 5 days, you can get 50% off. It's Creation CBD, curated for life.